alongside us and let's grow and go together. But if you want to jump into the Word of God with me tonight, if you open your Bibles, your smartphones, pull out your notebooks. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to teach us something tonight. And if you're willing and ready to listen, I believe you will leave here tonight with something valuable to grow with. We'll be reading from the scriptures. Hey, if you want to just sit and reflect too, we'll have it up on the screen for you as well. That is okay. But we'll be reading from the scriptures in the book of 1 John tonight. 1 John chapter 4, if you want to stick your thumb in there or say that on your screen. I believe God wants to teach us about how love makes the difference today. Love makes the difference. Thank you, babe. And if you'd rather, like I said, sit and reflect, that's okay, because God's going to speak to you. I trust that God's going to speak to every one of us tonight, that we can all leave here with something from the Holy Spirit tonight. He wants to teach us. He wants to God. So we just pray, God, soften our hearts, open our ears and our spiritual eyes to see and our ears to hear, that we might receive from you tonight. Today, I want to continue teaching you about what it means to go and grow together as a worshiping, relational, and missional church that's on mission for Jesus. That's who we're partnered with, friends. We're not partnered with anybody else. Just Jesus is at the center of everything that we do. So we're worshiping Jesus. We're relational with Jesus in the center of those relationships. We're on mission for Jesus with Jesus at the center and the focus of that mission. And it's a beautiful opportunity to be able to do this together, life and ministry. So it's so good to be in here. This looks like a body, like Paul was talking in the illustrations last week. We talked about a unified group of difference, right? Coming together to make a difference. So we're all different. We're different looking. We're different. We have different gifts. We have different skills. We have different wiring. We're built different. A group of different people who are assembled and gathered together by the Holy Spirit to go and to make a difference. We're going to talk more about this over the weeks ahead. So we do exist, friends, to show the world a better way. And God has given us different gifts and talents and personalities even, perspectives and experience on purpose, friends. You weren't wired by accident the way you are, just so you know, right? So if everyone in his church, in his body, were super artsy, how would we reach the science and technology geniuses out there at the same time, right? Or the high caliber athletes. If you look at me, I'm not that high caliber in my athletic fit. How can we? We're different, right? If we were all only English speaking, how could we communicate the gospel to those who speak Farsi or Portuguese or the languages that are spoken in this room? If we all had the same story and the same struggles, how could we bring hope and help and healing to people that you and I maybe can't relate to? Our differences are so important, yo. So let's be people who choose and fight for the unity that God desires in his local church, in his body of believers. It's a both and rather than an either or, right? It takes embracing our differences together and our diversities. And in doing so together, we can and will live in and abide in Christ as healthy and fully functioning body of Christ. This is how we pursue excellence as guardians of the culture that we believe that God is growing here at Beloved City Church. We go together, friends. We're intentional about it. Now, our differences are so important. So let's be people who choose and fight for the unity that God desires in us. Now, fight might be a large word or a word that maybe we don't use that often nowadays. And it doesn't necessarily mean to put your fist into it, right? Instead, what we do is we fight for by investing our time and our finances and our energy as resources to fight for, to secure, to uphold, and to contend for, and to assert ourselves. And this is all made possible, friends, because our loves are being reordered by the Holy Spirit in such a way that the unifier of Christ, see, the unifier of Christ is the Spirit of Christ that's invested in you and I through faith and belief in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit in us and making us look more and more like him, transforming us into the image of God because of the Spirit of Christ in us. And this draws us closer to God and this draws us closer to one another in such a beautiful and meaningful way to which we grow in together in sharing the common goals and common purposes and common vision and mission, common direction. This is kingdom living, friends. Yet in order to fight for unity, to contend for, to uphold, What we will learn today is absolutely key to our fight. We must learn what it means to be postured to receive his free gift of love and to surrender to his lordship, to surrender to his leadership in my life and permitting him to absorb my pain and my brokenness from my past mistakes and my yesterdays so that I might live, friends, in the light of his love. And in response, love others the same way that Jesus has loved me and you, friends. It is the framework for the unity that God has called us to live in the kingdom of heaven and to advance in the kingdom of heaven. Love is the unifier, and love is the Spirit of God in us. See, you don't have to fight for things that you don't love, right? This is our natural and human response, but we do, however, we fight for our desires to be fulfilled sometimes, right? We do fight for being right sometimes. Hey, if you're married, you have definitely fought for being right, right? If you're a teenager, probably too, you fought to be right as well, right? We do, we fight for these things. You will fight for your relationship with your spouse. You will fight for your kids because you made those things. Right? You love your spouse. You fight for those you love. We don't fight for things that we don't really care for. We usually just like discard it. Nah, it's no big deal, right? But we fight for those and the things that we love. We fight for these things. People you love and care for. We all in some way fight for what we love. Yet sometimes our loves are disordered and we need a fresh renewal of the Holy Spirit to renew the way we think, the way we act, the way we believe, the way we, our perspectives and how we look at the world around us and those around us as well. We need a renewing of the mind, per se, as Paul might say to the church today, to align our hearts, my desires and my rhythms and my passions and my motivations, not to my plans and purposes, but to the plans and purposes of God in creation and my Father. And the plans and purposes for his body, that this is Christ providing headship to his body that you and I are attached to. Since Christ cared enough to pray for our unity where we started back a couple Sundays ago, and he fought for our unity, this is how he fought for it, by giving his life for the church. That's Ephesians 5:25. Then our unity as a body must be of utmost importance to him if he gave his life for the unity that he's dreaming about and praying for, his vision and heartbeat for his church. See, this is how, friends, love makes the difference. When love, God is love and his Spirit is invested in us and we get to live together in this unity and this harmony that God has designed. His love in us and working through us together as a body, making a difference in the world that we're planted in. Love will make the difference in the circles of influence that we're planted in, where we live, work, play, and study. Now, to help you realize the unity that God is calling us to, I want to lay out the framework for what it means to grow and go together. The first and vitally important piece of this framework is this pillar of spiritual unity, the unity of the Spirit in us. See, spiritual unity is one of the three pillars of church unity that are absolutely vital for a strong, healthy church to flourish and thrive. That's what we're called to grow here, right? A thriving and life-giving church. Well, there's three pillars that we need in this church in order to thrive, in order for you to thrive and for you to flourish and for this city to feel the difference. Spiritual unity begins with you and I, friends, acknowledging and accepting that we are one in sharing in the same love of the same Savior, first and foremost, empowered by the same Spirit that was in Christ is in us, living a life full of worship even of the same Heavenly Father. And that's what we just did a little bit of that for about half an hour. And I know we work as worship and we play as worship, but there's a lot of things, but worship and song and worship and a sacrifice of praise is how we come and go and grow together even as an act and a sacrifice of good worship before God, of the same Heavenly Father. And at Beloved City Church, we believe fully with all of our hearts that we are growing a worshiping relational community on mission with Jesus. That's the goal. That's what we're working. That's what we're doing. That is spiritually aligned, though, with the heartbeat and the vision of Jesus and experiencing oneness with God and with one another. See, a localized body who is spiritually aligned with Christ in unity as a spiritual family, elevated above bloodlines and lineage and last names and where you came from, divinely gathered, assembled, built up together, different backgrounds and ethnicities, differing cultures and practices, embracing one another, caring for each other like we learned last week, and celebrating one another. See, now, in order for you to get a glimpse of the big picture, to join in on this meta-narrative, this big story of the world's greatest love story. You've heard it, but I want to remind you again tonight, because guess what? We've got to go back to the spiritual unity with God before we take any more steps. See, sometimes people are called to relational unity, but they forget that the unifier is God himself. And so if we come back to the basics, we come back to the gospel, we come back to the good news that Jesus has got to be the center of this church and we are unified in him through faith, then relationship will count. Then missional unity will be able to take place. It's the world's greatest love story, and I believe it would be best if I just take you back to where the fight for spiritual unity began, right? This is the good news. Jesus, the Son of God, who was sent by our Father in creation to earth from heaven, lived on earth as fully man and fully God, and he lived the perfect life that we could never live. And then he died this brutal death in our place for our sins. And in his death, we celebrate forgiveness and we receive this barrier-free access to our God and creator and father through what? The response of faith, which is made possible by his extended grace that empowers us to live righteously. The gospel, the good news of Jesus is not merely a fabricated religion or way of doing things. No, see, religion killed Jesus, friends. The good news is this, that God, who existed before time and who has no beginning and no ending, in the beginning God, the power to create the universe. He made everything, including you and me. The universe and everything in it. And he made us to be like him in his image and in his likeness. And we live together in intimacy in the Garden of Eden, which, by the way, was the first temple, which we're going to talk about in our next series. And I can't wait. We live together in intimacy, but we have been given the power of free choice as well, which is necessary, friends, for true love to exist. We have to have free will choice. Because God wants us to have an open, loving relationship with him. God has chosen us by calling us into existence. And the question for humanity is, would we choose God in return? Would we choose him back? But humanity, as you know, chose to go our own way, and we still do, even still today. And we separated ourselves from God, ushering in sin and spiritual death into the world. And as descendants of Adam and Eve, you and I, we too have all participated in sin. And because of our sin, instead of ultimately separating us from him and his right to wrath, instead of abandoning us to our own selves and our own devices, God said, he didn't give up. He's like, wait, hold on, humanity. I'm not giving up on you. So he continued to pursue us. And he sent prophets and messengers and preachers to come and tell us about his love for us. But we didn't listen to the prophets or messengers. Instead, we continue to go on our own way. So finally, God said, the time is right. I'm coming for you, humanity. I'm not going to let you continue to self-destruct like this any longer. In fact, I'm going to come down to earth in a form that is just like you. And I'm going to become one of you, a human being with a heartbeat and robed in flesh. And in doing so, I'm going to show you who I truly am. I'm going to show you my heart. And so God gives us his heart in the form of Jesus. Now, Jesus, who shows us what God is like, For he is the full image of God in human form. He lived the perfect life and that we could not live in our own place. Then he died the death that we deserved. See, Jesus, he not only shows us what God is like, but he shows us how to live. And when we follow Jesus, friends, according to his scripture, the roadmap for our lives, the truth that has been revealed to us, when we live in following Jesus, we too can begin the journey of returning to our truer selves that God has designed us to live as. Again, Jesus is doing two things. He shows us what God is like, and he shows us how we can live, who we can become like. And this is absolutely beautiful for us, friends. Christians belonging to or related to or like, this is the Jesus follower. Jesus, remember, he lived in union with the Father. He died, was crucified on a cross, and then he was resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit, raised from the dead 3 days later, proving his sacrifice as acceptable in the eyes of the Father. And now technically, he's in heaven at the right hand of the Father, the hand of power and authority. All of this is something that eyewitnesses communicate to us in this beautiful book, this library book of collections of books we call the Bible today. But often when we read scripture, we can be left saying and thinking, that's a ton of work for me to try to be like Jesus, who is like God. Can I really do it on my own? Can I do it on my own strength? How do I actually do this? I mean, Jesus kind of sets the bar kind of high, right? Perfection. You know, he says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, says Jesus. What? But the good news is we don't have to do it on our own, do we? Jesus calls his followers to himself and he teaches them how to live. And then says, I want to empower you, meaning my own presence in spiritual form in you. The Holy Spirit, who brings the very mind of Christ and the character of Christ to live in you, he gives us the Spirit. So Jesus, before returning to the Father, gives us the Holy Spirit, a free gift of life and liberty. And the Holy Spirit, friends, doesn't only just surround us, right, and encourage us. The Holy Spirit actually comes to live within us. You have the Spirit of Christ in you. You do if you have trusted Christ as your forgiver and your leader. The Apostle Paul, for instance, Peter, I should say, in Acts 2, in this, you might remember Acts chapter 2, this in this responsive and dynamic Pentecostal sermon, the charismatics came out of the woodwork. It was amazing. In this response, when the Spirit fell in power, he preached to people and said this: when you repent and believe, the same gift will be given to you as well, the gift of the Holy Spirit. This same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, Peter talked, will now live in you, resurrecting you from spiritual death to spiritual newness of life. So you have the Spirit of Christ inside of you. But also, guess what? In the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul goes one step further. He says, where are we? Where do we exist? We exist in this world physically, but spiritually we are living in Christ. We're spiritually unified with God through Christ Jesus, because we have the Spirit in us. And the Apostle Paul continues, he says, we are in Christ. And that phrase, in Christ, is brought up repeatedly throughout the New Testament. Your location in this world, friends, is in Jesus, unified with God. And then one more thing Paul also says, he says, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. How amazingly beautiful. Love does make the difference for us, friends. And this speaks of our security and of our safety and of our intimacy and oneness with the Godhead. We are caught up in the love life of God right here and right now. And that's why we celebrate. That's why we praise loud. That's why we worship loud. Because we're excited about what God has done in our life. And I can't wait to come to church and praise and worship and give God thanksgiving for the love life that I have in Christ Jesus that's overflowing out of me into the circles of influence that I've been playing. Is there anyone that's excited to have the Holy Spirit living in you tonight? Am I speaking to the right crowd tonight? I hope someone gets a little bit excited about the love life that we have in Christ Jesus. Sometimes us Canadians are so polite. Golf clap Jesus. I can't wait till you get to heaven and see how that changes. Oh, Lord, help us. Beautiful. We live this way, caught up in this love life with God. That's why we live, friends, unashamed of our faith, unashamed of who we are. We're called out people, separated from the world, made holy and righteous, robed with his righteousness. It's not by your works. I know you don't got this figured out. And we live this way spatially and spiritually in principle. And one day, friends, the fullness of this will become so true and truly manifest when you get to see the Lord of Lords face to face. Beautiful, this oneness, this spiritual unity with God is so absolutely beautiful. See, love did make the difference for you and I to be in relationship with God, one in Christ, unified in him, and love is still making the difference in my life and in your life, I know and trust. Still making it. And through us, love, see friends, love will always make the difference. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son in John 3:16. See, love did and love still does make all the difference. His love has changed my life, radically transformed my life, has changed the way I think, to change my face even, has transformed my emotions and my desires and my passions and my, and sure, I don't have it all figured out, and I'm not perfect, I'm not saying that, but the Holy Spirit's still doing this work in me, and it's the love of God in us that gives us hope from glory to glory to glory, friends. It's reordering my loves. I love coffee and Dairy Queen, but it's not the most important thing in my life. But I love him so much because he continues to show me over and over and over again how loved I am by him. He's made such a difference in my life. He's reordering my loves. And what do? I get to respond. And how do we respond, church? I know we talk about this in city groups and in our leadership. We talk about responding with these three rhythms. We respond with an upward movement of worship and gratitude and praise. See, that's why we lift our hands. Old Testament talks about wave offerings. We wave my hands before the Lord in thanksgiving. That's why I clap my hands. In gratitude. It's an upward movement in worship, in scripture, and in continual pursuit of this intimate relationship that I have with him and that you too can have with him. It's an upward, that's my first response. God, thank you so much. Gosh, you're so good. Wow, thank you. And that begins to transform the way I think, not just about myself, but those around me. So then I start to respond with this inward movement toward God's people because I'm attracted to those who are being transformed just like me, who think like me in some ways and who are in pursuit of the same God that I'm in pursuit of. And so I start craving to be in relationship with those who love God too. And so there's an inward response, an inward movement towards one another. Where we get to do life and ministry together, to share in each other's burdens and junk and celebrations too. This is the body of Christ. This is the good news, Stephen, right? This is love making a difference. As we get to together continue to experience Christ's love for his church, for his bride who looks so brilliant and white. Oh, his bride is beautiful. Radiant and white. There's this inward movement. And I don't know what about you, but we get to know each other. We're doing life together. We're eating nachos together, going for coffee together. We're sharing our burdens. We're praying for one another. We're doing this, all these things together. But then it starts to get like, you know what? I can't keep this to myself any longer. Someone else has got to know that what I'm experiencing is changing my life. So then I get to respond in this outward movement. And then before you know it, my neighbor's got to come over for turkey dinner. You got to hear about this family. You got to hear about this God that I serve and this Jesus that loves me so much. So I begin to have an outward flow. See, love is making the difference again in my life with God and with one another as the body. And now my neighbors, my workmates, my cranky boss. There's an outward flow, an outward movement in defined and shared purpose and mission. It's a Jesus mission to reach those who are far from God, who are lost and lonely and broken. They too need to experience the same hope, the same love that makes a difference. Together taking part in God's redemptive work in the lives of people where we live, work, play, and study. See, you're not at that job by chance, friends. You're not in that school and in that program by chance. You're not in that neighborhood with those people who just play their music so loud all night long, but God planted you there for a reason. Instead of banging on the walls and saying, shut up! I know it's hard sometimes to love 30 seconds at a time. But God's love is making a difference in me, and I know he can in you. So what do? We invite the lost and lonely back into relationship with Jesus and his local church family. And this is how we continue to make a difference that grows beyond myself. I know I'm preaching tonight. I hope someone's feeling something stirred up inside. Friends, we are called by God to intentionally live in and grow in spiritual and relational and missional unity. This is our response to so great a love that has made a difference in my life. And I would encourage you, if you don't feel like that tonight, friend, when you get home, can you find yourself a prayer closet and just snuggle up in the corner and say, God, would you reveal your love to me once again? Sometimes we get so busy with life. See, if the devil can't make you bad, he makes you busy. You know this. I know this. And before you know it, my mind's not on God. It's on everything else out there in the world. And our host culture wants to keep you busy and have divided interest. I want to encourage you to snuggle up into a prayer closet. Make a space in your home, a sacred space. That's why here at church now, we have this opportunity to have this 15 minutes of intercessory prayer, because we want to reclaim sacred spaces in our lives. Some of you need to consecrate. Sometimes we have desecrated our home with the things that we're watching and the things that we're doing. And God's saying, hey, friends, I want you to reconsecrate your home to be a sacred space again. Is there anyone in this room that feels like that this morning, tonight? I'm on the 24-hour clock. Anyways, I'm getting excited. What time are we at? I don't even know. Thank you, Jesus. Love makes the difference, friends. God, I hope and pray that we can get this and pack our pipe with it and smoke it tonight. Ingest it, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. See, this is how God's love is perfected. Or completely completed. That's what perfection means. It's not being perfect, it's completion. This is how God's love is completed in us. Let me show you this in scripture, because I know we haven't gone there yet. So 1 John 4, we just started. That was all for free. Just kidding. I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation, which technically isn't a translation. It's a poetically translation paraphrase by Brian Simmons. But I just want to read this in a different way tonight, to spark some imagination and some creativity in your thinking process tonight. John 4, 1 John 4 and 7. We're going to read to verse 13. Here we are. Those who are loved by God, that's you and I, friends. Let his love continually pour from you to one another. Let the word of God saturate us tonight. Why? Because God is love. Everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of him. Verse 8, the one who doesn't love has yet to know God, for God is love. Verse 9, the light of God's love shined within us when he sent his matchless son into the world so that we might live through him. We're talking about being spiritually united with God through Christ and our faith in Christ and the Christ, Spirit of Christ being invested in us through that faith. We're talking about spiritual unity. Love is an essential aspect of God's character and colors every aspect of his nature. And this is the same transforming work of the Holy Spirit in my life and in your life. See, when we allow him, or permit him, right? Surrendering to his lordship, the holiness of God is loving, and the righteousness of God is loving, and the justice of God is loving. Everything God does in one way or another in our life expresses his love when we are one in Christ, in him, in us through the Holy Spirit. This is the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 10, this is love. He loved us long before we loved him. Thank God. It was his love, not ours. And he proved it by sending his son to be the pleasing sacrificial offering to take away our sins. Delightfully loved ones, if he loved us with such tremendous love, then loving one another should be our way of life. See, when you are spiritually unified with God through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you, guess what your way of life is? It's now loving one another. Why? Because love makes the difference. Love is flowing out of you because this love is too big for you to contain. And this should be our way of life. We can grow to appreciate this truth fully and to openly receive the fatherly love that God has to give us. Some of us, for whatever reasons, have come to think of God the Father as aloof and far from you and mean, maybe even, right? Perhaps the so-called angry God of the Old Testament. God hasn't changed, by the way. But in this distorted way of thinking about God, many imagine that they prefer the nice and timid Jesus, right? But our Heavenly Father loves us. And the love that Jesus showed in his ministry is the same love our God and Father in creation has toward us all. We can receive the healing power of our Father's love that we might live in an abundant life through Christ Jesus. This is spiritual unity with the Father. Verse 12. Scripture says, no one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor, his glory. God is not completely knowable by us. We can't completely figure out God. I know you want to. Or know all his secrets. See, his thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. Beyond our human capability to understand. But, I love big buts in Scripture. You know that. We're going to go there. But if we love one another, God makes his permanent home in us, and we make our permanent home in him, and his love is brought to its fullest expression in us. What an invitation to such a beautiful partnership, this unity we're talking about, spiritual unity with the Father. Verse 13, he has given us his Spirit within us so that we can have what? The assurance. The confidence that he lives in us and that we live in him. Friends, this is so absolutely necessary for you to receive in revelation today. God, open our eyes to see, our spiritual eyes and ears to hear, and our hearts, Jesus. The Holy Spirit, the unifier, provides us, friends, full assurance that he is unified within us and we in him in this oneness, this loving relationship. God makes his home in us and we with him. And he's fully expressed in us. Galatians 5 and 22, I think I have this. I'll just break up the scripture. The God who is love expresses such divine, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions, joy, that overflows in your life, peace that subdues the chaos in your life, patience that endures the strife, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, a faith that is prevailing, and a gentleness of heart and such a strength of spirit. See, this is the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in you and I, because love makes the difference for us, friends. There's some air conditioning, finally. And this revelation of who you are and where you are in spiritual unity with God will result, friends, we're going to talk about this next week, is going to result, will result in relational unity with one another. Since God is not seen amongst us, if we love one another, God abides in us. And this is the greatest evidence of God's presence, mind, and character in us and working amongst us. And this evidence of his presence in us is the irresistible character and nature of God on display for all to see. Friends, love does make the difference. See, we're talking about the unified body of Christ in this series of growing and going together, one in mind and character with Christ Jesus. Gathered and assembled, divinely gathered, assembled and built up, unified together with Christ as the very head of this church, who continually is providing directional leadership, nudging and prompting and guiding and speaking to us. It's beautiful. Some people think the greatest evidence of God's presence or work in us is power and authority. Some people think the greatest evidence of God's presence or work is popularity and pleasure. Some people think that the greatest evidence of God's presence or work is passionate feelings. But the greatest evidence of God's presence and work in us, friends, is actually selfless love. Where God is present and working, there will be love experienced and imparted. So you can't keep it to yourself, because God's love doesn't work that way. It's bigger than any one of us. This is the perfecting and the completing and the maturation, the maturation of God's love in us, drawing us into the spiritual unity with him first and one another secondly. Verse 16, let me wrap up the scripture here. We have come into an intimate experience with God's love, and we trust in the love that he has for us. God is love. Those who are living in love are living in God, and God lives through them. See, love is making the difference. We're experiencing this intimate encounter with God's love through the Holy Spirit. We grow to trust in this love that he has for us, because we see his love demonstrated through Jesus, through the scripture, over and over and over. And we continually experience his love working in us through the Holy Spirit. So what do? We confidently trust. Love has made the difference for me, in that we have become one in Christ, and he is one in us as he is one with the Father. This is living in spiritual unity. Now we are living in Christ, living in his cascading and abundant love, friends. And he is living his love out loud in us and through us together. This is the work of the Spirit. See, understanding that we are loved by God, that we are restored back into a healthy, functional relationship with our Creator through faith in Christ for free, is actually foundational to living out our spiritual oneness with him, our unity in him, which in turn will deeply impact your relationships, will deeply impact this church in our unity as a body. How can we love others or even ourselves unless we are gratefully accepting and receiving such radical and relentless and transformational love from him first? God loved you first. And you have to open your hearts and receive that unconditionally. See, sometimes we want to put conditions on God. Well, God, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if that's what I want to do in my life, or that's the person, whatever the job, whatever it might be that you have conditions on. But he initiated this love. So what do? We just get to respond. Jesus loves me. Jesus chose me. Jesus redeemed me. Jesus called me friends. Jesus forgave me. Jesus sees you as worthy. Jesus cares about your little things. Jesus has gifted you and equipped you. Jesus has taken me and you into union unto himself. And he set me into a family. All I can say is, God, thank you so much. Thank you. Love makes the difference. Love makes the difference. The beautiful thing about Jesus is that even when people were against Jesus, he was still for them. Even right in the middle of being crucified, if you might remember the story, Jesus prayed and asked God to forgive his killers because they didn't know what they were doing. God, forgive them for they don't know what they do. Jesus demonstrated his love to others over and over. And see, friends, that's the same love that resides in you and I when you opened your life to receive the fullness of God through the Holy Spirit in you. You can live in that same forgiveness. You can live in that same grace and truth. You can live in that same love. This was us at one time. We were once against Jesus. And he was still for us. We were his enemies in sin, but he still offered us the gift of unity with him and our Father through this free gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes this so beautifully in Romans 5:10. For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. We were restored back into relationship. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Ephesians 2:18. Paul again reminds us that we were once far from God. We're restored back into relationship with our Father and Creator through faith and trust on the cross. You, he made alive, who were dead in sin and brokenness. Verse 18, and now because we are united to Christ, we both have equal and direct access in the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. So you are not foreigners or guests in this house any longer. You are in his presence, but rather you are the children of the city of the holy ones with all the rights as family members of the household of God. See, often when we experience conflict in our body, disunity, even dismemberment from the body, it's always going to come back, friends, to the root of forgetting that you too were once far from God. I too was once far from God. That we together have been saved by the same good news that we listened to already. That we all have the same access to God. And that no one has superior access to the Holy Spirit. We're all children of God. The same access to the household. Each have equal and direct access to the Holy Spirit. This is truly a beautiful picture of spiritual unity. Christ in us, us in Christ, as he is one with the Father. See, maybe tonight your next step is fighting for unity. In fighting for unity is permitting love to make the difference in you tonight, to cease being far from God and instead take a step toward him, to trust him fully, and to maybe even take the next step and join his family, be a part of his body, not separated, not detached, but be integrated into the body of Christ. Maybe your next step is to become a key player to contributing in unity, being a participant instead of a spectator in advancing the kingdom of God. Remember, our main focus here at Beloved City Church is not to be a place to get comfortable, a home to be comfortable in. That's not our goal, right? Our goal is to get uncomfortable and to be okay with being uncomfortable in reaching the lost and lonely and hurting and broken people with the good news of how much love makes the difference in my life. This good news of Jesus, this is actually our discipleship. The participation of kingdom advancement. being an integral part of sharing in this incredible announcement that through the life and the death and resurrection of Jesus, our God has once again become king, and his kingdom is coming to earth, and everyone is invited in, including you and I. Jesus died to bring you and I that invitation. You're invited to family today. You're invited to unity today. Unity. You are invited to walk in ultimate reconciliation with God, your Father in creation. For those of us who have or who are already part of this family, the church, we get to follow Jesus' example of being for our city, for our people, for his church. To be a people to who are known for what we are for rather than what we're always against. That's a Christian culture. It's not what we're looking at. We want the world to know us for what we're for. What we're for. And love still makes a difference in us. No matter what the world's, our cities, our people's position is toward us and what we believe, we can still fight for and uphold and protect the unity by keeping the main thing, choosing to bless. You know what bless means? It means to be available for, means to listen to, means to eat with, means to serve with. The last S is then finally you get to share. That's what the acronym of BLESS. And I encourage you to write that down. Be available to listen with your neighbor, to eat with your neighbor, to serve your neighbor before you start sharing your testimony with your neighbor. It's about building a relationship, incredible trust. Love will make the difference in you. Friends, all around the room, let's close in prayer.